first place I'm going to read today will be Isaiah 38, if you want to turn there. Take me a little while to get there, as is my custom. Isaiah 38, 17. It's been in my mind for quite a while to try to talk to you about, I guess the broadest way to say this is, how that our deepest needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, even psychological needs are met in the gospel of Christ. And in the kingdom of Christ. That, what I just said to you, is absolutely astounding. The gospel of Christ, kingdom that he's blessed us to from time to time enter into. I mean the New Jerusalem that cometh down from God out of heaven. Is the very thing that God uses to supply our deepest needs as his children. I said, as his children. God meets our needs even when we don't know what they are. Of course, I've been thinking about this for days and days and days, and of course, I've been thinking about Miles. Miles is not the only baby in the congregation today, but you know, Miles is my baby. Might it be possible that God, in his providence, and in his order of things in life, is providing what Miles needs even now, before he even knows it. What say ye? And my printer went out, so I've had to handwrite this. So you all, it's been a week. My printer went out, and I was mad enough to cuss. Almost did. I know. Which reminds me, God loves us. I wonder, the subject I want to talk to you about mainly today is that in the gospel of Christ, in this kingdom I described to you, we are told that we are fully known by God, but fully loved nevertheless. I asked Eddie this morning, I've asked Becky too, can love really, can love exist without forgiveness? Every few hours, Seth and Christy have to forgive Miles.
Right?
Amen. My beloved, I would have you know, God knows all about you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. He knows more about you than you will ever know about yourself. And yet He loves you fully with an everlasting love. This is the message of the gospel of Christ. Are you with me? In this gospel, we are strengthened, stabilized. I wonder if you ever feel like you need to be stabilized. This gospel enables us to think clearly and correctly about the world around us. The woke revolution will destroy society if we let it. How are you going to think clearly about that? In the gospel of Christ, that's how. Are you with me? This gospel is the light whereby we see the path that were to walk before us, and whereby we see the traps that Satan sets for us in that path. Can you say amen? The gospel of Christ tells us how things are, the way it is. Whether we particularly like it or not. Did you know the gospel tells you the truth even sometimes when you don't like it? There's a part of you that does not want to be told that you're a sinner before a holy God. There's also a part of you that needs and wants to be told that and gain strength from that and stability and light from that. And that's one way. Listen. One way God loves you is to tell you the truth about yourself. One way my parents told me loved me was to tell me the truth about my sorry self. Amen? Becky has loved me in the same way. It's nice of you to be quiet when I said that. Is there love without forgiveness? Is there love between husband and wife without forgiveness? I don't think so. You see, love, y'all listen to me. Love is not just an emotion for crying in a bucket. If that's all it is, then God is only an emotion. For God is love. I tell you, love is doing right. Love is doing right. Love means you forgive. I tell you, you've got to forgive your mate over and over for the same thing. Over and over. And God forgives us over and over for the same thing. This is the love of God. The one of the most fundamental, profound, psychological, inner, spiritual needs of the child of God is to know that he is loved by God. And he is loved by God outside, not contingent upon what he does. Otherwise, you will not be loved. Are you listening? The gospel tells us how it is, the way things are. I'm going to quote Brother Dickey one more time. The gospel is a proclamation, not a proposition. It is a proclamation of the love of God. Okay, so the deepest psychological, emotional, spiritual needs of the child of God are met in the gospel of Christ, in the kingdom of God, in the church of God. That's where they're met. And number one, perhaps, of these is to know we are loved. Do you understand, my brothers and sisters, that God is constantly telling us, I love you? Constant. Are you with me? My friends, the world you live on is evidence of the love of God for you. The air you breathe. Now, one thing Becky's taught me is to make my bed, to make the bed every day. She told me the other day, the reason you do that is a bed is a gift you open every day. If you have something other than a grass mat to lie on, other than a dirt floor to lie down on, it's evidence of God's love for you. Are you with me? If you've got a mate to love you, it's evidence of God's love for you. Food to eat, air to breathe, clothes to wear, to cover our nakedness. But a most astounding maybe of all is to know that you are loved by the holy, righteous, omnipotent, eternal God of heaven. When you are by nature the thing God doesn't like. And there's something in you that knows that, right? Maybe you have, oh boy, do I need your prayers. Isaiah 38. Maybe you have at times in your life when you were spiritually with it, cogent, rational, thinking right, maybe you've thought to yourself, how does God love me? How? Now, let me pause. If you don't ever think that, you have too high opinion of yourself. But if you're thinking right, you're going to think, how does God love me? With what I am, how does God love me? And the answer is, in Christ. That's how. Okay. You are fully known by God. There's nothing about you that He does not know. There are things about me Becky doesn't know. Just because she can't read my thoughts, God knows my thoughts. Amen? There's nothing about you that God doesn't know. He knows you're up, down, sitting, you're up, rising, your thoughts are far off, the words before you, they go out of your mouth, and yet He loves you anyway. Are you with me? Okay. Isaiah 38. What I want to do, if the Lord will bless, I want to read you just four places, end up in the New Testament, to try to show you how the gospel is telling us all the time that God loves us. Even though He knows us, He loves us. God loved us when we were unlovable. When we were sinners, dead in sins, without strength, alienated from God. God loved you before you existed.
Amen.
And by the way, that's a little bit better than the way I loved Miles before he existed. I kind of loved Miles before he existed. I wanted grandchildren. God knew you in every detail, named you by name, wrote your name in his palm and in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. He knew you in every way. I do not know what Miles is going to become. I hope I'm not embarrassing Seth and Christy. I don't know what Miles is going to become. I hope he becomes a good, strong Christian. Of course I do. I don't know what he's going to look like. I just hope he doesn't look like his grandfather. God knew all about you, what you would be, what potentialities you would have and never aspire unto. He knew all about you and loved you anyway. This is the love of God. It is inexplicable. I think outside of Christ, it is inexplicable. Isaiah 38. Behold, verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul, you see that? Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. And what did God do? Delivered your, okay, if you're in the pit of corruption, especially if you're in the pit of corruption and you're dead, you're not getting out on your own. Say amen. What did God do? He delivered you. For love to your soul, he delivered you from the pit of corruption. Why did he do that? Please notice, he didn't do that because you were so wonderful. He did that because he loved you. All right, watch the rest of this now. For thou hast cast all my sins. All my sins behind thy back. And this is the God that says, you don't turn back, you look forward. And he has cast all your sins. This, brothers and sisters, are you listening? This is one of the most fundamental, basic, deep, primal needs of the child of God, is to know that God has cast all, for love to your soul, God has cast all your sins behind his back. That, y'all, if that's all your sins, I want to ask you, how many did God leave in front of him? None. Do you all understand? I asked the question, is there any such a thing as love without forgiveness between husband and wife? Probably not. Between, you know, the husband has to forgive his wife too. Probably not as much as the wife has to forgive the husband, let's be honest. I'm glad you women didn't say amen. But God's love toward his children is that he has put their sins behind his back, and not just some of them, all of them. And my brothers and sisters, are you listening? That includes the sin of unbelief that many people think sends people to hell. Why would the sin of unbelief send people to hell any more than any other sin they commit? Did Jesus die for that sin or did he not? I'm not trying to be mean. Let us reason together, Isaiah says in another place. How many of us have been guilty of not believing like we should? All of us. But God has put that sin behind his back like all the rest of them. Part of you, the deep down part of you, wants, are you listening, to be okay with God. The gospel tells you, you are okay with God. It really, y'all look, God's more okay with you than you are okay with God. Because God knows you better than you know God. I mean, duh. Right? Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. That message is the gospel message, and it is one of the deepest, most primal needs of the child of God to know that God loves him or her. And I mean you! I'm not talking about God loves his people. I'm talking about you, my brothers and sisters, saying, God loves me. Even though there's no doubt, no question that you do not deserve it in and of yourself, God loves you individually, one by one. I can't stand the idea that election is just when God took, you know, the front end loader and scooped up a bunch of people. No, he named them by name. Okay, Jeremiah 31:3, which I could quote. Let's look there. Hurry up. Jeremiah 31:3. I don't think the love of God exists with reference to his children void of forgiveness. Do you? It's almost as if the love of God is somehow defined by his forgiveness of our sins. How much does God love us anyway? Are you kidding? How much does God love us? I'm going to answer that question in a minute by the Bible. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, the prophet says, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, okay, so what did God do as a result of the fact that he loved us with an everlasting love? Did God leave it up to us? Did God leave us to our own devices? You better hope not. And I'm going to tell you, God did not leave us to our own devices. I have loved you. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That word drawn there means to give eternal life to. It means to draw irresistibly by his power to bring a person from death and sins to life in Christ. That's what that means. You will notice this does not say, the Bible does not say here, therefore with loving kindness have I invited you. You know why God didn't invite you? Because you were dead in sins. And my friends, it is just too much to wrap your mind around that God could love us when we were like that. At enmity with God, the carnal mind not subject to the law of God, neither indeed could be, God loved us anyway. You know, it didn't take me long to love Becky. You don't know why? She was so stinking lovable. That's why. Becky's still lovable. God loved us when we were unlovable. Are you with me? And his love acting upon us is what makes us lovable. I've loved you with an everlasting love. How long is the love of God going to last? Everlasting. I don't think the love of God ever began either. I don't think God ever didn't love you. And yes, that's a double negative on purpose. God did not ever not love you. Right? Otherwise, he had to change. God has always, always, always loved his people in his son.
Oh, Christ is the key. Christ is everything. He loved you in Christ with an everlasting love before He created this universe so you'd have a place to live until He takes you to heaven. Are you with me? Okay. Put these two verses together. The love of God would not allow Him to leave you in the pit of corruption. You hear me? He raised us up out of the pit of corruption. His love would not allow Him to leave us there. Are you with me? Miles' parents' love for him will not allow them to leave in. I'm going to try to say this right. Miles' parents' love for him will not allow them to leave him in his own corruption. Do you hear me, my brothers and sisters? I ask you, is God our Father? Micah 7. Now, it may take you a while to find Micah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. I can see if I can find it. Actually, I put a paperclip at Micah so I could find it. I cheated. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Micah 7, 19. My friends, I believe with all my heart that the gospel of Christ, and let me interrupt myself to say, how many gospels are there? Only one. I do not claim that I understand it all, but I insist there's only one. And it was the one preached by Christ and the apostles in the first century. And the gospel of Christ is God telling His children, I love you. And telling us the degree to which He loved us. And what His love has done for us. Independent of, not contingent upon, what we have done, otherwise God would never love us. It must be independent of that. It must be not based upon that. Amen. Because of what we are by nature before God does something for us. There's a word that talks about that unchanging love, and it is escaping me. I would say it if I could think of it. Unconditional. That's what I'm looking for. You know, you get old, your mind leaves you. God's love is unconditional. Listen to me. It's not based on conditions you met. It's not based on conditions God telling you to meet. You know why? Because when you're dead in sins, you can't meet conditions. A man that's dead in sins is in no condition to meet any spiritual conditions. But guess what? God loved you anyway. Gave you life so you could meet spiritual conditions. And so that's how God gave you. That's one way He loved you. And another way He manifests His love for you is telling you that He loves you. And the way God tells you is through the gospel of Christ primarily. And in the kingdom of God. Is it not mind-boggling? Did y'all find Micah while I was ranting and raving? Y'all did? I'm so glad. Y'all sure said yeah kind of quick. Were y'all saying yeah to you found it or yeah to I was ranting and raving? Don't answer that. Lenny. Oh, I love you so much. Don't tell me it isn't great to be in church. It's great. It's indispensable. This is where you come to find out God loves you, to be told how much He loves you. By the way, do you tell somebody you love that, you know, just once? God is telling us all the time He loves us. Read his, but what do you read his word? Come to church. You come to church out of love for God, right? And God, you come here and God says, I love you in 1,000 ways through the gospel of Christ. I'm telling you, the gospel is a precious commodity. It's precious. Okay, you've been waiting on me to read Micah, and I got one more. Listen to this right here. Now, I said a minute ago, God put all our sins behind his back. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. Did you hear that? Does God have compassion on us sinners? He will subdue our iniquities. Yeah. 7:19, everybody there? Did I not say that? I may not have even said that. Did I? Okay. Micah 7:19, I'm going to start over. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Now I wrote down a little smart-alecky note. This is written about 700 B.C. Before the days of deep-sea submersibles that can go down to the bottom of the ocean and look at the Titanic. So when Micah says, God has cast, by the way, how many of our sins? How many? All of our sins into the depths of the sea, that means into a land of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. Can you say amen? Amen. My friends, the love of God, the gospel of God, tells you your sins have been put away from you forever. And don't even think that you're going to stand before the judgment bar of God at the end of time and answer for your sins. That will not work if God has cast him into the depths of the sea. You know who answered for your sins? The only begotten. Son of God, the Messiah, the sin bearer. That's who. And y'all, he answered for all your sins, including all the sins that everybody said, you know, unbelief, etc., etc. Yes, he answered for that. No, I don't want to be an unbeliever, do you? I want to believe like I'm supposed to, don't you? Thou hast cast all our sins in the depths of the sea. Isn't that glorious? No deep, you know, no aqualung. No submarine in 700 B.C. So I think that means, okay, now, John, and I don't know how, I hope the Lord will bless me for the next few minutes in John chapter 17. As you're turning there, would you be willing to admit the likelihood, the possibility that the deepest emotional, psychological, spiritual needs of the child of God are met in the gospel of Christ? Our deepest needs, and one of them is to know we're loved. I want you to try to think about what a nightmare it would be to go through your physical, natural life not knowing you were loved by anybody. How alone is that? I can't even bear the thought. John 17. This is Christ's high priestly prayer, and he comes to the end of it, And he uses language that is, how much does God love his people? How much? Does he just love them? Does he just love them enough that he'll allow them to take themselves to burn in hell if they want to? Or if they make that decision? Is that the love of God? Is that really love? What would y'all say of Seth and Christy? I asked forgiveness of Seth and Christy. If in a year Micah's grown, for heaven's sake. Miles is a toddler. And he's heading out into the road, and they say, okay. And do nothing about it. What would you say about their love for Miles? What would you say about that? All right, John 17. At the very end, verse 23, 24, 25, 26. Incredible. The language of this is beyond description. 23. I in them, and thou in me. What? So, okay. The elect are in Christ. Christ is in God. Christ is in the elect. Figure that out. Sounds to me like some union between God and Christ and his people. They're so one, they're inextricably woven together. Are you with me? I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, are you listening, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Do you hear me, my beloved? God loves his sheep, you, just as much as he loves Christ. I wouldn't say that to you if I didn't have the Bible telling me that. How much does God love you? The same as he loved his son, because you're in his son. There's a union between the elect and the Son. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That's the will of Christ. What do y'all say? Are they going to be with him where he is? These that he loved as he loved Christ. Christ says, it's my will that they be with me where I am. I don't mean to be mean, but do you think it would be reasonable for God to allow the will of the sinner to overthrow the will of Christ? No. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. Okay, if God the Father loved Christ before the foundation of the world, does it not stand to reason inescapably that God loved his people in Christ before the foundation of the world? Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. It's inescapable, is it not? My brothers and sisters, do you think God's children need to know that God loved them to this degree? Do God's children need to know this? Y'all, it is one of the most crying, deepest, primal, spiritual, fundamental needs of the child of God. Just as a baby needs to be loved, really, to survive. So do we need to be loved by God, and if we are loved by God, we will eternally survive. Are you with me? O righteous Father. This is the end of Christ's prayer. This is the language here. I'm telling you. God loves them as he loved Christ. He loved Christ before the foundation of the world. Therefore, he loved them before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. Now why is Christ doing that? That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So, God loves his children as he loves Christ. Do you realize how, y'all listen, that is so incredible, so astounding that I can, okay, because look, Christ deserved to be loved. Amen. Perfect. Even as a human, he's the only one that ever did deserve to be loved because he was the only one that was ever perfect. And yet God loves us as he loves Christ because he loves us in Christ. Do y'all understand? You listen to me. God is not expecting you to do anything to earn his love. Even now, he's not. He loved you before you could do anything. And the only reason you can do anything acceptable in the sight of God is because he loved you first. Don't ever get it the other way around. Now, all of us here today, I would be willing to say, want to love God more. And want to love him better. And love him more perfectly. And eschew evil and love Christ. And that's part of the situation that all of God's children are in until they leave this world. If you are that way, if that is your experience, if you're sitting there thinking, that's me, I tell you on the authority of God's word, you are a child of God. And he loved you before the foundation of the world just the same as he loved Christ, because he loved you in Christ. With an everlasting love, put your sins behind his back in the depths of the sea, all of your sins. This is the message God's children need to hear. What has Miles done to earn his parents' love, other than exist? What has he done? His parents loved him before he was brought forth. In a sense, his parents loved him before he existed. Are you with me? Is not God teaching us all the time? Okay. My friends, listen. The reason God loves us is not found in us. Therefore, God's love for us is not wavering or weak or wishy-washy or doubtful, because his love for us is not based on anything in us. Therefore, his love can be infinite, eternal, everlasting. And do y'all understand what this means? This means God does not love anybody any less than he loves anybody else. He loves all his sheep exactly the same. Because the love that he has for us is not based on what we do. Y'all see this? It is so glorious. It is incredible. God completely forgives us. Which, even that is just, I mean, I make that statement and my mind is boggled by it. That God will not hold our sins against us anymore because he held them against Christ. And if God holds your sins against you after having held them against Christ, God is requiring payment a second time for the same debt. My brothers and sisters, I believe with all my heart this is one of the most important, fundamental, primal needs of the child of God, is to know that God loved them when they could not earn it, deserve it, when they, oh, and actually what they deserved is the opposite. And yet God loved them anyway. And by the way, we're told in Hebrews, as I close, love never fails. God's love did not fail, does not fail, will not fail. Christ is a successful Savior, and all for whom He died will be with Him where He is after the universe ceases to exist. I love you with all my heart.